Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I'm us. Welcome to the High Potion Podcast. It is me, Stephen Crothy.
This shit ain't nothing to me, man. Gulping sea monkeys by the gallon, my tummy feel crazy.
Sound familiar, Steve?
A little bit.
A little bit. Sounds a little bit familiar, does it?
A little bit. We might have to holler at somebody about some bit infringement.
Bit infringement and... listen... I know it's not a Hallmark Christmas movie, but fucking Final Fantasy 16 was one of the best games of last year, so maybe you call down there, Mr. Root Man. All right? I'm Halls Burkhardt, by the way.
Halls with an
you know,
axe to grind
I was
already.
Like, it's not even an axe to grind. He had to know I was going to give him some shit about that. But the other thing is like, he sits across the virtual table from fucking Smoke from Mortal Kombat every week, and I'm just going to let him handle it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who an avowed Final Fantasy stan.
Yeah, man.
Brian. Yeah. Smoke from Mortal Kombat.
So, I'm telling you, man, I'll just let nature take its course, circle of life and whatnot, you know?
Shit ain't nothing to me, man.
This shit ain't nothing to me, man.
I'm going to choke him out with a pair of Givenchy gloves. The last thing he'll see is the price tag as it fades into black. I'll let the archangels take him. I study Dracula flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's a way of life.
It might be the only thing I come anywhere close to listening to as much as Tool is Dracula flow. Oh, man. So, buddy. You came in with a heater of a concept that I just feel like is going to be fun to fuck around with, you know?
Same.
And that is the idea of video game Mount Rushmores, right? So, like, you know, obviously there's Mount Rushmore that's got the dude from Hamilton and the man with wooden teeth and yep. a fucking racist with a mustache. And
some dude who's on the dollar bill.
Yeah, the guy quarter. Who... That guy who was the president during the Civil War and also fought vampires.
that's right. Yep, yeah. That's
so
right.
We're gonna take that concept and apply it to video gaming, different genres, different concepts, bits. We're just gonna kind of let it go. You know what I mean? See what happens.
Yeah. My thoughts are we each just take turns like nominating like a category to do it with.
Right. Right.
Just perfect. Like go flow, Dracula flow, if you will.
Oh, yeah. And we will accomplish that. So, you know what? I think we have a couple of emails that we need to.
Let's go. Awesome.
We need Love to emails. Address. Yeah, man. We'll hear from Florian and HK47.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Let's see. We didn't do this last time because when we recorded an. Okay, hold up. Now, so I have got a little bit of
a bit of a postscript.
Yeah, a little bit of a postscript about one of these voicemails. So you know what? Just because we have a few to catch up on, we won't do a Florian this. Because Florian is evergreen, as they call it, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a voicemail dated 9/25/2023. Okay? From our buddy Neil. Now, I was on Twitter the other day, and Neil was like, hey, I sent you guys a voicemail back in September, and you guys never played it. And I was like, I know for a fact I haven't seen a voicemail from Neil. Because I check, right? And then I was looking and searching. I was like, it's not in there. He sent it to the wrong email address. Long story short. So I don't feel like an asshole. I'm not saying Neil's an asshole because he sent it. I'm just saying I don't feel like an asshole because I... Neil. Let's hear from Neil.
I have relief.
What's up, Paws and Steve? It's Neil giving you a call from Chicago. Wanted to talk to you today about two topics. One is that Starfield is amazing. Paws, I know you've been playing it. Steve, I hope you've had a chance to pick it up and mess around with it. But that game is just endlessly entertaining, especially when it comes to storytelling. The storytelling in that is so good, and the way it is interwoven with random events that happen in the game is really cool. I think one of the best ones I had was I took an ad.
It sounds like Neil is in a starship, I just want to say. You hear that? It sounds like a plane going overhead or something, but it sounds like his ass is breaking the fucking...
He's in the Windy City, man. He's probably walking outside, you know?
Yeah, that's right. It's a twister. Neil should just wear one of those, you know, those wing suits? Those flying squirrel short suits? That's how he gets to work every day. He just steps outside and goes, Main Street!
To become just a basic level corporate employee for a known corporation within the galaxy. I followed that quest line all the way to the completion where I basically have a seat on the board at this point. And then just yesterday, I was randomly just traversing different planets, doing some, you know, surveying, doing a couple minor side quests, and I ran into a ship that was hailing me for help. So I docked and I went in, and it was two agents who worked for the same corporation, and they were trying to finish an argument between themselves on whether they should disable a sentient AI that was on the ship that they were on, that they were hailing from, or if they should let it go. And because I was on the board, I was able to pull rank and tell them to just leave. They didn't actually have a ship, so I ended up having to drop them off at corporate headquarters. But I was basically able to override everything they wanted to do because I had finished that quest line previously.
Can you pause that for a second, Hoss?
Yeah, so, yeah, really yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just wanted to go ahead and say I have not played this game, but I would have shot both of them in the head. Just wanted to put that out there. That's how I would have handled that situation. You can.
They call that emergent gameplay, Steve.
I'm really enjoying it. Still haven't finished it yet, but it has been great so far. The other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was kind of like paralysis of choice in gaming. This is something new that I've actually experienced within the last like 6 months, I would say. I feel like there are things that just come out so often now that I want to play, that I want to have some investment in, and that I have purchased to play, that it has almost gotten to a point on some days where, like, I just don't know what to work on. You know, and that's not including, you know, things like Fortnite or Call of Duty. Sorry, Haas, I know you hate Call of Duty, but...
Well, okay, hold up. So I can free up some of your schedule real quick, buddy, but we'll get to that in a second.
But, you know, things like that I also want to play, and sometimes I just end up, you know, popping on YouTube and watching someone else play something instead. Like, what do you guys do in those situations? Has it lasted a really long time in some cases, and, like, what did it take to get out of that funk? Hope you guys are doing well, and have a great rest of the day.
man.
Oh, this is, let me just say that this is a fantastic question.
It is a fantastic question because, boy, have I been in that situation.
we both know all about this.
And we talk about it with each other, too.
We do. I don't know. All right, I'm going to let you start. I'm just going to flip around and turn my sauce down. I'll be right back.
All right, yep. Steve's got that special sauce cooking on the stove, baby. The first thing I would say, Neil, is there's a real easy way for you to get a little extra gaming time every week so that you have a little more time to mess around with, your backlog. And that's cut out Call of Duty. Just cut that right out, throw it in the trash, and then, you know. How many hours a week do you think you play Call of Duty, Neil? That could be spent playing something good. Just fucking with it.
I came back right in time.
In a weird way, in 2020, when our sort of little gaming group reformed during the pandemic, that really helped as far as, so if it's the weekend, I kind of know ahead of time what we're going to play. There might be a question mark here or there, but like, you know, this weekend, Tekken, right? This is the first time we really had time to play Tekken with Jeff, and that was great.
Getting our ass beat.
Can I stop? Can I put the skirt? So the first night we go to play Tekken, me and Jeff play, I play Steve first, and then it's me and Jeff, and Jeff comes in with his character customized to look like Tifa. And that's just, listen, I've sat idly by while he stole Cammy from me and took her to heights unseen in my hands, by the way.
He's nearly to master.
Right. And
he's
then,
almost there.
But then this, jeez, that's dirty. That's dirty pool, Jeff.
But he did inspire you to get in there and start making your own stuff, which you have. We can talk about that too.
Yeah. So the thing that Tekken does that none of the other games we've played so far does really well is letting you customize characters, and not like your avatar. You can customize every fighter in the game. You can buy different clothes and accessories with them for them. And so, like, you know, with the uproar about having Tifa in the game, almost immediately people started posting customizations of characters looking like Tifa. And then Jeff is a fucking master at it, by the way. Like, he made an alpha nod from Final Fantasy 14 that took my breath away. But it's really fun. And you can make a lot of stupid shit. Jeff's way better at it than I have. But I have made buff George Lucas and Haley Williams from Paramore and Power. Everything else.
Power.
Kind of, Power
is great. Yeah,
Power
yeah.
from... That might be my best one. Power from Chainsaw Man. Asuka from the fourth Evangelion rebuild movie, and mm-hmm. Tifa. That's the ones I've made so far.
And they're good. Jeff has some good ones.
Some bangers. A Phoenix Wright that looked just like Phoenix Wright. The hottest.
Uncle Roger, apparently.
Oh, I didn't even get to see Uncle Roger because I was making.
Okay. Yeah, Uncle Roger was good. Who did he have Law dressed up as the other day that looked really good?
Who was Law dressed
Might
up
Might have been as... Bruce Lee. But he already is Bruce Lee.
Yeah. He also had, the hot lady from Resident Evil that I like so much.
Oh, Ada Wong.
Ada Wong was spot on.
That was my favorite one. Honestly.
John Wick. Like, he had a so John nice. Wick one that
John,
was sick.
John Wick. Yep.
Man.
He had a Hulk Hogan.
I didn't see
King
that one.
Dressed
either.
Up as Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. What a renegade. go fuck your friend's wife and drop the N-word, Hulkster. Sounds familiar.
Hey, man. Listen, man. I just want to say you're being a little too rock and roll right now.
You know, I'm sorry, Steve. I am pretty fucking rock and roll. You know what I mean?
Keep that shit in check.
I'm trying. You know, I'm so rock and roll. It's tough, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is. It's a lifestyle, man.
It is, and it's tough to maintain sometimes.
Like looking back at me, I see that I never really got it right.
That was Steve legitimately pounding the desk in excitement right there. I'm rock and roll like that, Steve, you know?
I know.
So, yeah, big ups to Tekken for that. Now, Steve, buddy, what do you do when you get choice paralysis?
It is tough. So I really have to try to be honest with myself about what I want to spend my time doing. And that inevitably leads to me just sitting on the couch, staring at the TV, staring at the game library that I have, you know, and it's tough. It really is. Sometimes I just think about genre, you know, like what genre do I want to play? And then kind of narrow it down from there.
Okay. Can I stop you for a second? I have that. That's also the way my mind grapes work, where I'm like, So what type of game do I want to play? And every time my brain goes Japanese RPG, every time, Steve, every single time.
It's the Kermit meme where one of them has the dark hood over. Yeah. Like, you want to play a JRPG again. That's
Yeah, and so then I'm like, well, which one do I want to play? Do I want to restart a Final Fantasy again for the fucking eighth time? Do I want to play some franchise I've never played and then be like, oh, no wonder I'm not into this one.
Yeah, and then it gets to be like, okay, am I looking for like some kind of new experience, or do I want to go back to that warm blanket of something that I know I love? You know, and that there's nothing wrong with either. Like, you know me, I've played through Sekiro 15 million times.
The man almost beat the game while he was staying at my house for the dudes weekend. And just in little small bursts, I would come into the living room and this man would just be mowing through people like his ass was John Wick. He'd be like, hey, you want to see this cool? I'm gonna stab this big snake in the eye.
The snake thinks it's rock and roll. Watch this.
Yep. He ain't. Bang, bang.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it really is a thing, though. It even gets me to where, like, I'll start playing a game and my brain will be like,
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll, quit.
Buddy,
I'll quit the game.
You're like, maybe. It's the one that bums me out sometimes is like, I'll be like, okay, so I've got all my shit taken care of. I can just play video games for a really long time today if I want. Long time for me, you know? It's not like I get those long, super extended video game session times anymore. But I'll be like, oh, I'm staying up till like 4 in the morning. And I'll devote most of that evening to a game that's like not doing it. So like an hour or two in, I'm like, oh, I've fucking wasted my time. Now what do I do?
I know that feeling so bad. It's the worst, you know?
Yeah.
You feel betrayed.
Yeah. You know?
It's really tough. I mean, that choice paralysis is so real with all the choices we have now. Like, when I think about the first game system I ever owned, my parents bought me the Nintendo with four games. And four games at that time felt like a million.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And yeah. These were games with, like, paper-thin gameplay.
Oh, yeah. But somehow I probably have like 500 hours in Punch-Out. You know what I mean?
Oh, fuck yeah. That's what I'm saying. I played 1943 for probably like 50 to 75 hours, you know?
Yeah.
That freaking aircraft little 2D.
My dad loved that game.
Oh, man. It's fun.
Yeah.
That style of game was a real thing back then.
Oh, yeah. And it still is. Like, those shoot-em-ups are still popular. It's just a game type that I cannot grasp. I don't have those skills like our buddy Alan, right? Like he plays a lot of those.
It's like an OG bullet hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, like, and there's a lot of them that are really popular too. Like, I can't even think of them because I'm bad at them. And I'm like, well, that's not for me. Fuck me. Fantasy Zone slaps, though.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Honestly, the best way I've found to come to a winner in choice paralysis is to get legitimately excited about playing something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll hype myself up before
time. Yeah. Exactly.
Spaghetti.
Look at that art, you know, and be like, oh yeah, fucking Cyberpunk, you know, it's on this big update. And I've been wanting to go back to that and the expansion. And
next thing I knew,
I was spending 100 hours in that game.
The inverse of it, like the best feeling in the damn gaming world is when you're like, okay, I want to play something. You figure it out quick and it hits hard. Like when I finally sat down and decided to restart Like a Dragon, Yakuza 7, and saw it through to the end, that was nice because that took up a chunk of time too.
It's an investment. Yeah. Yeah, man, we spend a lot of these games, especially if they have RPG in the title, are going to push you north of 70 plus hours, you know.
Yeah, I'm probably looking at like 200 plus hours between Infinite Wealth and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's I'm not going to be done until maybe like the fall or some shit with Infinite Wealth, because no offense to that game, it's going to take a back burner when Final Fantasy comes out, because I'm not going to be done with it in
Of course not,
25 days.
Did you decide that you're going to focus on it?
I
You've
mean,
kind of been in denial about it for the last couple of times
I
I
can't
talked to
stop, though. I can't. Like, the other night, I was like, you know what? You know what it was? Is I was bummed when everybody left on Monday, and I was sitting around, I was going, this sucks. All my friends are gone. I was like, wait a second. There's a group of friends in Yokohama I could hang out with and see what they've been up to.
A fresh new adventure that
and
is getting great reviews.
I dove in, and it is motherfucking spectacular so far. Buddy,
what I hear.
I'm only in chapter 3. I'm about 10 hours in. So, you know, that makes
you're at least maybe a tenth of the way through what you're going to spend on it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I just got to where the sort of map in Hawaii opens up, where you can, you know, go to all the different places. So I landed in Hawaii, and they're like, oh, by the way, Kiryu's in your party pretty quick. And I was like, oh, this fucking slaps. Let's
go,
baby. They
didn't fuck around. They gave them to you pretty quick.
That's like fucking, and all I need is Steve or Majima to show up, and then it'll be like I'm hanging out with Steve, Will, and Nick again. Kasuga, Kiryu, and Majima. Steve's Majima.
Of course.
Nick is Kasuga. And Will is Kiryu. Oh, and early on in the game, there is a party member you have that's in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And it's pretty fucking sick.
Does he have any cool attacks?
He's a support character. He buffs you and shit.
And he's like a bard.
Yeah, kinda. Okay. And it's a new character too. So no, because there's also a wheelchair guy in seven.
See, they're making sure everybody gets represented.
Yeah, man. And I'll tell you, the mini games slap. Like, they're brand new. You know what I mean? Obviously karaoke's very similar to what it's been, but there's a it's kind of like a take on Pokemon Snap, you know, the game where you would take pictures of Pokemon when they pop out. But you're riding around on a trolley taking pictures of perverts. So you can file police reports on perverts that are harassing people in Hawaii.
That's what I expected you to say.
It's
sorry, you got me.
Awesome, dude. It's awesome. There's also a dating app minigame that's pretty funny. And that one gets a little spicy.
We heard you playing that last night. And
yeah.
You kept getting like bummer texts.
Dude, Nick was like, now, I got to say, this is a very fun game to watch. I don't know that I'd play it, but it's fun to watch.
Can I say Happiness is going to jump into the Discord with y'all and seeing that Nick is already in there?
Oh, dude, you know what's funny is, so I'm hanging out and boop, boop, and I'm like, Ohio goes Imas, because I thought it was you.
Yeah.
You know, because you're normally the first one in there with me. Yep. And then Will goes, hello, hello. And I was like, oh, shit, what's up, Will? And he's like, I'm downloading Tekken. And then we're hanging out and talking, and then boop, boop. And I'm like, oh, Ohio goes Imas. And he goes, wait, are you guys actually recording? Because it was just me and Will. And I was like, nah, buddy. It was Nick.
Oh, man, what if y'all were?
Oh, dude, and Nick just was a special guest on Blue Harvest. I would make him stay for the whole show.
I might ask him to do that, or somebody to do that soon when we're recording, just because I want that to happen.
Just pop in.
Now people will know that we planned it, but damn it, that's so funny.
Nah, you know what we do is we just wait a little bit. You know, half the time these people got their earphone, their little Beats by Dre in their ears, and they're like, yada, 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 yaka. So, okay, shut up, Halls. Get to the fucking point of the episode.
Oh, so hey, you know how you and me have always been big Destiny guys, and we still play Destiny?
Yeah,
all the
man,
time?
I am so excited that
I'm so fucking
it
ready
finally
for that.
Fucking paid off. The fact that I love Destiny with
love
all my
so
heart,
much.
And I
Isn't
haven't stopped
good?
Playing it since 2 came out, and now they're adding Mass Effect stuff to it.
finally, God, yes, it's like, yes, we're,
yeah,
we're being rewarded for our long-term service.
Yeah, man. So if anybody wants to run Crota,
some raid, you want to do a raid,
dude? I saw that story about Destiny getting Mass Effect cosmetics, and it's the first thing I saw when I woke up that morning. Like when I was sleepies in my eyes, taking Luna out to go potty, I was like, let's check the what.
What is up with games we love getting crossovers with games we don't?
Well, and I don't even have anything against Apex, but like,
right,
fucking
neither.
Put it's the Final game. Fantasy shit in Fortnite, please. That's the one I play.
Yeah, man. Or Darktide, you know? That'd be nice.
Final Fantasy VII DLC and Darktide?
Yeah, like imagine...
If that happened, I would... There's no way you couldn't convince me I lived in a simulation. If I lived in a simulation, I'd hope I'd be able to say that word better on the first try. So you know what, we do have a couple of well, hold on, this one might be important.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my God. Okay. This is important. It's time sensitive. Hey, Halls and Steve, thanks you guys for making such a great podcast. I'm sure it's not easy, but it's very appreciated. It's honestly pretty easy. Halls, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII for the first time since it originally came out, and I need some advice. So I'm coming to the expert. I'm at Mount Nebel on Disc 1, and I've got all these characters and a shit ton of materia. And I want to make sure that I'm keeping the materia at a reasonable level so that I'm not underpowered as I progress through the game. So I find myself constantly switching between characters to keep their experience up, but then having to unequip the materia and re-equip it to the new set of characters, which is getting kind of annoying. And I'm also at a point where I have way more materia than I have slots for whichever three characters I'm using. Should I just set up each character with certain materia and just leave it that way? Will the materia level keep pace with the game difficulty if I do that? Any particular materia that is especially good to keep at a high level? In case the version of the game matters, I'm playing it on the original game on PS1. That's fucking dedication, my dude.
Fuck yeah, man. Yeah, that's
On a separate topic, Steve, a while back, you mentioned something about your dad and online conspiracies theories. Is that a real thing, or was that just a random joke? If it's a real thing, I'm going to need a new weekly spinoff podcast from you guys devoted solely to that talk. Keep it clean, Brian.
Shoot. Let me address that really quick, and then I'm going to let you tackle that Final Fantasy question while I grab something to drink. So my dad, yes, that was not a throwaway line. He is definitely deep into some shit, and I really don't want to talk about a lot of it.
Yeah,
because it's kind of a sore spot with me.
It does make for a good joke. You joke about stuff that's fucked up, yeah, right? It makes you feel a little better.
But let's just say I don't want to give the shit that he has gotten into the light of day, because it deserves to just fucking never exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Now, I remember when I first moved to Birmingham, John and Lauren let me borrow a book that your dad let them borrow.
David Icke.
It was about lizard people.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, man. That was early on.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah, like back in the day when you'd be like, these people think the fucking dudes from that Star Trek episode live in the ground beneath us. That's kind of neat. And then they were, you're a few little years later, you're like, oh, this is cool. It's all Nazis.
I will say that flat Earth has been a thing.
Oh, no.
That's kind of benign enough that we can all like point and laugh. So that, you know, that's pretty funny.
Flat Earth. That one is goofy.
I love my dad, but yeah, he has too much time on his hands these
days.
Wait,
does he think that the Earth is flat, Steve?
Yeah, probably. He probably still rolls with that.
Okay.
He can kind of leave stuff in the past, you know. It doesn't happen often, but basically, if the majority of people think one thing, he's going to go the other way.
I gotcha.
Kind of deal, you know? He's kind of a renegade.
Yeah, yeah, that is real renegade. Pretty rock and roll, too, to be
honest. Kind of rock and roll, yep.
All right, so I'm going to tackle this Final Fantasy question.
Okay.
So, cool. Buddy, if you want me to be completely honest, like, I love Final Fantasy VII. It's my favorite game of all time, but when you go back to it, there are some quality of life improvements that we've gotten in the more modern day of Final Fantasies that aren't there. Navigating the menus can be a bit of a pain, but, you know, it's also kind of just comes with the territory. So what you're doing where you change your characters out and then, you know, change the materia between the three characters, that's exactly what I do when I play Final Fantasy VII. Now, in terms of materia that should, you know, you would want to have pretty leveled up, all your elementals, fire, lightning, ice, you know, throw quake, wind, or arrow. I can't remember if it's wind or arrow in that. You want to have all your elements covered because that way when you fight enemies or bosses that have an elemental weakness, you got really powerful versions of those spells. Then also, you know, your healing materia. You want to keep that pretty, you know, the stuff that is common makes a lot of sense. And then another thing that I find really important in that game when you're switching out your characters is to make sure to use their limit breaks a lot. That way all their limit breaks will level up too. Now, granted, there is one character in the game that you have a limited time to do that. So you got to be sort of on it with leveling up their limit breaks. And barrier, haste, you know. And then, you know, as you play the game, you're going to get more weapons with a lot more materia slots. And that's when you can start throwing in, you know, the weirder ones or whatnot. But make sure elemental materia, your healing, and then, you know, some buff and debuffs. And then if you have any materia slots left, throw in, you know, some of the more specialty stuff at that point. That's all I got to say about that.
When was the last time you actually played the PS1 version?
On a PS1.
I guess maybe, yeah. When was the last time you played that, you think? Mine would have had to have been like probably 1998, 99. I don't think I played it past that. But
so I played it through twice on my PS1. On my original PS1. Now then, when the PS2 came out, you remember how they had that option where you could apply a filter to PS1 games that would make them look a little better?
I don't.
You don't remember? That was a setting on the PlayStation 2. You could put a PlayStation 1 game disc in. You could go in the settings and have it sort of clean it up, which, you know, kind of continued on into the 3. So I replayed Final Fantasy 7 at least once on the PlayStation 2. I also bought it digitally on the PlayStation 3 and replayed it there. I've bought it digitally on Steam and replayed it there. And I've played it through most of the way on Xbox and most of the way on PlayStation 4. I have that game way too many times. People want to bitch about, oh man, I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 3 times. All right. I bought Final Fantasy 7 on every console generation since it's been available. I just keep rebuying it. And most of the time, in my defense, I do end up seeing it through and beating it, but I wanted to replay the original before Rebirth came out, but that was one of those, it was a nice thought, but there just wasn't any time. There's no time. There's just no time. All right, so we've got an email from Wesley, and, you know, obviously we've got some Florian stuff to catch up on, so we'll do that next episode.
Okay, cool.
Thank you guys for sending in emails.
Yeah, appreciate the emails, guys. That's exciting for me. Get to read answers to questions and stuff like that.
So our concept of video game Mount Rushmores. I think there's only one place we can start though, right? And that's video game mascots, right?
Okay.
And when you think about that, to me, and feel free to disagree, to me, there's only, like, there's two immediate slots that get filled, and that's
Mario obviously,
and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So two slots are already taken, Mario, Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, the other two get a little weird, right?
Yeah.
That's where the debate comes in, to me.
I agree. No, I would agree. You can't leave Mario or Sonic. Those were the face of the two biggest video game franchises of the 80s and 90s,
mm-hmm.
you know, so got to be there. Now, your other mascots, what are you thinking here? We've got,
so
do we count Master Chief as
honestly,
a mascot?
I was going to say, I think you kind of, and like, I was going to go into this doing a bit where I just refuse to put Halo or Master Chief in any of these to get Josh back, old Root Man, Root Down. You remember that song, Steve? Of course you do. Hold on. It's
Beastie Boys.
So yeah, I had this whole plan where I wasn't going to let Master Chief get put on any of the Mount Rushmores, but to be honest, it's kind of impossible, right? Because he did launch an entire new company in the video game console.
Sick. That song's so sick. That album is sick.
That album is sick.
Communication, yeah?
Yep.
I believe.
Yep.
Great, right? Film with Sabotage.
So, I think Master Chief could... I'm not saying he is there, right? But I think his inclusion would be appropriate.
I think so. I mean, who else do we have to work with here?
So... like, if we do that, right? So, like, let's say we go Mario, Sonic, and Master Chief. Now you're talking about mascots for their respective consoles. Now, granted, that's not the case with Sonic now, but you're talking about the mascots that got those consoles mainstream attention, right? Mm-hmm. So then... we have Nintendo, Sega, Anomaly Patri, Spiritu Sancti, as a console developer, but cranking out them Yakuza games, so I love
You've been enjoying
them.
A lot of Sega products.
Yeah, I love Sega. I love it, bro. And Microsoft with Master Chief. So I kind of feel like if we were to do that, then we're going to need to fill that fourth slot with some sort of Sony mascot. Mm-hmm. Parappa the Rapper. So
was Crash Bandicoot, would he have been considered a potential mascot for Sony
early on? I mean, it's weird in those early Sony days, like it was kind of weird because at a certain point you could have considered Cloud Strife a mascot for the Sony console, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's their whole, I mean, that was
Solid Snake,
why I bought it.
Yeah, Solid Snake would be one.
Solid Snake is nice, but I don't think I'd consider him a mascot. At that point, the PlayStation was pretty entrenched.
Yeah.
But with that said, of course, that was one of the biggest games on the console for the
life. Crash Bandicoot sort of, it's weird because it would be three cartoon boys and then a fucking,
fucking a space man, marine.
A man who wears armor that jerks him off. so it's tough. Like then I would say, you know, present day, I wouldn't consider Crash Bandicoot a mascot for Sony. I would think more Kratos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it, talking about like, because you know me, my heart wants to say Spider-Man, but Spider-Man was popular before being on, you know, before those excellent games, right? And if we're talking about something like culturally relevant, Kratos, I think
you've kind of swayed me there. Like, I can see him as being a mascot. He kind of is. Now, think about how long God of War has been a thing just simply for PlayStation.
Yep.
Right? Like, pretty much a successful franchise from the beginning, which would have been...
PlayStation 2 era.
Early PlayStation 2? Or late PlayStation 2?
Mid PlayStation 2 for the first one. And then I think the second game actually came out on PlayStation 2 after the launch of the PlayStation 3, like a few months after, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and those first three games were mega popular, had the spinoffs, and then it had a massive comeback.
With a complete, super successful reimagining, right? Mm-hmm. Like a total retooling of the gameplay, which can go south, right?
Oof, yeah, but it didn't in this case. So.
I think you can make the... If you want to talk about cultural impact, now this could be recency bias, but I think you could put Ellie on there.
Mm. Right? She's kind of divisive to me. I like Ellie a lot. That game series is obviously fucking huge, and quick digression, you know, they had their little video they released. They're going to have a game come out. That's not a Last of Us game, but they do have a concept now for the third game. So I would say, what do you think? That is definitely going to be next generation, right?
If we've got like 3.5 to 4 years for the next generation, yeah.
Absolutely. It might be a PlayStation 6 game.
I wouldn't even be surprised if it's one of those games that's a dual release, like where there's a PS5 version and a PS6 version. I also think they've been working on that for a little longer than they would say. So
that's a good point. And you got to think they have the engine in place.
Yeah.
You know, they were doing work on that Factions, which I'm sure the assets will be pulled in to use for 3. But I think that game series is just... Even like as adult as God of War is, I feel like The Last of Us kind of takes it another level by being like even more realistic.
Yeah, it's brutal.
You know, so I think Kratos is the better answer. So,
okay,
would you say that Mario, Sonic, Master Chief, Kratos has kind of a good ring to it?
Yeah, it does. It's two serious boys on the end and two cartoon boys on the other end.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like it.
And Master Chief's just there in the middle with his suit jerking him off. All right, buddy, what's yours? What's your first one?
All right, so for me, this is a fun one.
Okay.
I'll be curious to get your take on this because I think we might have some in common here, but I think this might be one where we have to diverge as well. And that's best video game developer of all time, director.
Oh.
So I'm going to tell you my four. I did a little bit of research. Okay, so clearly I'm going to have Hidetaka Miyazaki on there.
Right? Yeah, that's a given for me for sure.
That's the non-surprise. He reinvented gaming for me. And in my opinion, video games in general with Dark Souls and took it from there back in 2009. After that, I'm going to go with Shigeru Miyamoto.
That's the guy who, this a given.
Ironclad gotta be on there. You can't have a Mount Rushmore of game developers without that dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
My next guy, sorry, and I have to look up his name to make sure I'm not fucking this up because you know me, man. Okay. And this is the guy I think we're gonna have together. Hironobu Sakaguchi.
From the earlier Final Fantasy stuff.
Yes. Like he was involved with Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy VII, Chrono Trigger.
Uh-huh.
He was just like basically invented the RPG genre for me.
Yeah, this man has a Tool discography. There isn't a weak entry. You know what I mean?
Bangers. And there's other stuff that he worked on, like that, you know, some other Final Fantasy stuff in there too. But like the fact that 4, 6, and 7 and Chrono Trigger are all in this dude's catalog is just impeccable to me as a fan of that kind of stuff. And then the other guy is not shit. I almost called him. Shinji, what's his name?
Ikari? Shinji Ikara.
It's Mikami. Shinji Mikami. And he's the guy who did Resident Evil, including like Resident Evil 4, which in my mind is the original Resident Evil 4, which was one of the most influential, basically invented the third person over the shoulder camera shooter. So those are my four. And like I feel like this is pretty subjective because there were some tough ones for me to leave off of this list. And I'll get some of your thoughts first before I tell you some of those.
So I don't think that's a bad list at all. Now, So there's a guy I'm thinking for that, right? His name is Gunpei Yokoi, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you why I think this guy might need to be on there. He invented the fucking cross D-pad.
Oof.
Right? He was the guy behind the Game & Watch at Nintendo, if you remember those. The sort of like...
Yes, I do. Yeah. Oh, I wanted one so bad.
The Game & Watch, and then also the dude behind the Game Boy. Like, the system that broke mainstream handheld gaming, which is still, like, a huge market. And those, yeah. In those lean-ass years during the towards the end of the Wii, when they were, like, just pumping out shovelware, and everybody's grandparents stopped playing Wii bowling, and through the disaster that was the Wii U, their handheld department and, like, the DS and 3DS and whatnot was whipping ass. That's why Nintendo was never in trouble, because that like their handheld market was insane. And then they combined them both. Besides that, let me give you a few little couple games he produced. Donkey Kong.
Ah.
Duck Hunt.
Little game called Donkey Kong.
Hogan's Alley. Wrecking Crew.
So he was involved Metroid. In a lot of the early gun stuff.
Kid Icarus.
Mm.
Super Mario Land, which is the handheld Mario game on the Game Boy, and it fucking slaps.
Oh, I loved that game. Yeah, I definitely remember that one from my childhood.
You remember Mario Paint on the Super Nintendo?
Of course I do. I never played it, but
me neither.
I remember Mario Paint.
I was really jealous of kids that had it because it had like a rudimentary animation system in it.
So this dude sounds like he was basically like an idea man for hardware.
Yeah, but like knocked it out of the cards.
Yeah, I mean, like, this guy was, he really was influential in terms of like shaping the future of gaming, and especially the early like handheld stuff and all that. Very, very impressive. So who are you gonna knock off?
Oh no.
You're clearly keeping Miyamoto.
So,
I know
yeah.
that. And probably the Final Fantasy man as well.
Well, hold on. So let's go Miyamoto, Gunpei Yokoi, Cliff Bleszinski.
Oh, you're bringing Bleszinski.
No. Never. I would never.
That's a bold choice.
I would never.
Look, he's a guy I hated back in the day, but and I he can't is overlook a, the
he's
guys.
He's annoying. No, and listen, I have nothing, like, at the end of the day, that guy gave me Gears 2 Horde mode on River.
Yeah.
And I will never, thanks, man.
And he gave me Unreal Tournament before that, which was a huge
Jack,
game for
Jack
me.
Rabbit. I just don't think he's a Mount Rushmore.
No, dude, he's not a Mount Rushmore guy. But I do appreciate
and like,
his
the thing is, so we got, in my opinion, you got two old heads, for lack of a better term, right? So you do want some recent sprinkle on there. Now, Miyazaki, there is... like, and once again, this might be recency bias, but like, just thinking of the course of that game series to a, like, and I don't mean in quality, but like a D tier PlayStation 3 exclusive.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and I don't mean in quality. I mean,
like marketability.
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, going multi-platform with Dark Souls and it being like, it's a huge hit now, but a nice moderate hit when it came out. And just the slow growth of keeping that formula going, knocking out bangers that are really hard, right? Like, there was a time when if a game was really hard, it was death nail for it.
Yeah, it really was.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember... and obviously they were successful because there was a bunch of them. But you remember when they rebooted Ninja Gaiden on Xbox and that shit was knock your dick into the dirt hard?
It really was. And I tried to stick with that. I stuck with that one way longer than I probably should have.
I didn't have an original Xbox, but I knew a bunch of friends that were all trying to play that game. And not a single – anytime I talked to them about it, none of them seemed like they were having fun with it. Not that it's not fun, but like it was brutally hard. And then, like, Elden Ring hits huge, bro. Huge. And it was so weird to see it, though. You know, it was kind of like when, okay, you know what I can, and surely you can relate to this. when you get into a band pretty early on in its sort of life, and then they hit it huge. Right.
I felt that way with Slipknot early.
I felt that way with Korn.
We were Korn I was into early as well, but Slipknot it was fun because I got that record and the blow up happened fast with them.
It did.
Like, you had to be in on almost the basement level.
You know what's funny is the way I found out about them was through fucking Korn message boards, which I used to post on, dear Lord.
We should have a whole ass episode about message boards sometimes. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, so there's a dude on the message board that was like, you guys need to check this band out. They have like 9 members, and it was a link to their website where you could download one song, spit it out, which is not good.
That's the worst song on the record.
I heard it, and I was like, what is this guy smoking? What? And then I think another one, maybe Wait and Bleed got put up next or something like that. Much it was better. Like pretty early, but that's what it felt like with From.
There was like a late night radio show I used to listen to in Jacksonville where they would play like bands you hadn't heard of before, and they played Eyeless.
And oh my God. Hearing that on the radio, I would have driven my car off the road.
I couldn't sleep that night because I couldn't wait to wake up in the morning and take my shitty Chevy Nova to the Orange Park Mall and buy a copy of it at what was the name of that music store back in the I can't
Camelot or some shit? Sam Goody?
Sam Goody, I think.
We had a Camelot when I was a kid. That's where I would go buy all the latest new metal releases.
Yep.
Hey.
I remember buying a copy of the special version of that record off the internet.
Oh, that had purity and shit on it?
That, like the Digipak
with the extra songs.
With the 4 extra songs.
It's got that song, Only One of Us Walks Away.
Yeah.
That song slaps. Anyway, sorry for the tangent. That was fun. I got Steve to get into a Slipknot conversation with me. My weekend is off to a fucking wonderful start. That's what it was like with From, right? Kind of watching what happened to them. As far as the High Potion fucking Mount Rushmore goes, I think he has to be on there, right? Like, I think he has. If it's our personal podcast, Mount Rushmore, I think he has to be on there, and I think you throw the Final Fantasy guy, Hironobu Sakaguchi.
Cool. So basically, you and I are in agreement, with the exception of I say the Resident Evil guy.
And you say the Hardware Man. It's hard. I'm not saying anything about that guy. Like,
right.
Love Resident Evil. Love it. If we were talking horror video game developers, he's there immediately.
Right. He's number one. It's just one of those things. I realize this is probably going to be subjective. Like, there were 100%. People that I really wanted to put on there. Gabe Newell was a guy I really thought about. John Carmack. Ken and Roberto.
So what we may need to do is do a Japanese developer Mount Rushmore and then a Western developer Mount Rushmore.
That's a great idea.
You know, that's something we think about for the next time we do this, because this is going to be a reoccurring bit.
Of course, that's what I mean. Like, this sort of conversation is pretty easy to just bring back every now and again. So,
buddy, let me ask you. So, topic. I got one that I'm bringing specifically for you. Okay. Now, your breadth of knowledge on this is going to be way more than mine. From Software boss fights.
Ooh. Okay. So this one, definitely one is the last boss fight in Sekiro, Sword Saint Ishin. He's definitely on there. We're going to go with nothing from Demon Souls, unfortunately.
Yeah, see, one would have to make it on there for me, just because I've only played Demon Souls and Elden Ring. And some Bloodborne. You know, I've beat old Cranky Pants, what's his name, a few times. Every time I restart it, I get everybody's like, dude, you got past him, it's pretty easy from here, and I'm like, I'm lost, I don't know where to go. Okay, so nobody from Demon Souls.
Let's see, I'm gonna go with Sister Frida from Dark Souls 3, the first DLC. That was just an insane fight, one of the first 3-stage fights I've ever I've ever did. And I mean, I nearly had a heart attack at the end of it because I was so fired up to win.
Fuck yeah.
It was so good. Okay, let's see. There's going to have to be something from Elden Ring. And so that's got to be Millennia.
I think in terms of cultural knowledge, like, you know what I mean? Like, Let Me Solo Her became a thing, you know? I've never heard Steve more cranky with a video game than like the two nights that we were hanging out while he was fighting Millennia. And he's been like, Jeff and Nick, tell me what you did. Tell me what you did, okay? I need to know. And Jeff would be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Nick would be like, I just did it. I went in there and I hit her with a big thing. And I hadn't gotten to her yet. So it's not like I would have any input on that. So,
right.
And such a cool design.
Yeah. You know, and weirdly, like Bloodborne, as much as I love that game, and it's, I mean, it's up there. It's like really close to the number one. Like, I don't know if I want to put any of those boss fights in like a Mount Rushmore. There's some really solid boss fights in there, but again, I think they're just outshined by other stuff. And I'm going to go. So what do we have? What do we have so far? We have
three.
Sister Frida. We have Blade Millennia and Sword Saint Ishin. Yeah, that's right.
Whatever.
Okay, so the fourth one is going to be the Fume Knight from Dark Souls 2. I can't remember which DLC. I think it's the middle one. But that is a good-ass fight.
Yeah, right now Michael Pappas is like, that's what I'm talking about, Steve! Man, Michael... So I think our next episode, by the way, needs to be with Michael Pappas because
we need to
talk to him.
I'd love to talk to him.
He is lost in the Yakuza sauce.
Let's bring him on.
Okay. I can't say, like, I think Millennia should be there with that experience. Like, if it was my personal one, probably put the fucking Tower Knight on there because that was the one that, like, almost made me stop playing the game. And
yeah,
it's
that's
early.
A good boss. That's
you know
a
what
good
I mean?
Boss.
And then
if you're going to pick one from Demon's Souls, that's the one I
and
think
Steve,
to go with.
And Steve was like, so really just you got to run upstairs and kill the archers. And I was like, huh?
Huh? There's a fight that's almost the exact same thing in Bloodborne. So I kind of knew what to do in that fight
when
I got there. That was my first time. So.
Hell yeah. So what's your next one, buddy?
Okay. So let us go with MMOs.
MMOs?
MMOs.
EverQuest?
Probably. I would say EverQuest deserves
EverQuest.
A spot.
EverQuest.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
Final Fantasy 14.
Final Fantasy 14.
And here, what's your fourth? Because you've got some choices, obviously. We've got Black Desert Online, which you haven't played at all.
I played a little.
I played like a touch. That game actually seems pretty cool.
Why don't we start
it.
Playing that? I want to play an MMO!
I know.
Don't do this. Okay.
There.
So I think those first three options are locked in.
Locked
in.
You've got the early stuff, Ultima Online, if that's your thing, if you're an old head.
Ultima Online, The Realm Online, Meridian 59. There was a bunch.
Then, you know, I know for you, the Star Wars one's a big one.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, like, Star Wars The Old Republic is a very solid, by-the-books MMO with a lot of dialogue choices. You know what I mean? It's solid, it's great, it's fun. Boy, I want to play it with all of our buddies someday. That is, like, my gaming white whale, right? Mm-hmm. It's great, but it's very by the numbers. If out of the two, I would say if either of them was eligible for the Mount Rushmore, it'd be Star Wars Galaxies because of how batshit insane that game was. As far as like there was no like vendor economy. It was a complete player run economy. There was a job, like a class called Politician. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there, it was over a year before the first person figured out how to become a Jedi in that game. You could not start up when it first launched. Wow. You could not start up Star Wars Galaxies and play a Jedi. You had to unlock it. And they didn't tell you how, by the way. They weren't like, so this is how you do it. They were like, you got to do something. It was bananas, buddy.
Some mystery.
Sometimes when you'd be playing that game, it would feel, because they had huge planets. They had a whole solar system, right? Huge planets that would feel super barren when you're on there. And it's not because there weren't a lot of people playing. There's just a lot of landmass in that game. They added speeder bikes and land speeders that you could pimp around in. Their first expansion, Jump to Lightspeed, was basically like, they were like, okay, let's add X-Wing and TIE Fighter to this game. Mm-hmm. It was insane. I don't know that, just because of the balls of it, I admire that game. I don't know that it makes the Mount Rushmore, though.
I'm going to have to, unfortunately, for my fourth, and I know you're going to disagree with this, but I have to put Destiny on there, the first one, because of just the amount of time that I gave
MMO,
to it.
It's not an MMO, though.
It's close enough for me. Like, okay. I mean, you know, it's, I know what you're saying. It's definitely not in terms of, like, an MMO like we've been talking about. But, you know, it's like an MMO.
Azurin's Call, Steve. What about Azurin's Call?
Sure.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I wouldn't make it on there. I mean, honestly, I think you have to have EverQuest because it was the first, I feel like, big MMO.
It was, yeah.
And then World of Warcraft blew that shit out the bottom. Like, it blew it away.
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy 14 is just the best MMO ever made, so it's obviously going to be on there.
You know, so, and that's tough for me to reconcile as well because I haven't played World of Warcraft since 2000.
It doesn't even matter, though. You know what I mean? Though, like the day that game came out, it was on the Mount Rushmore of MMOs.
Sure,
you know what I mean. Like a masterpiece of an MMO, regardless of whether you know certain expansions piss people off or whatever. Like it's still around. It's still super active and like. You want to know a little secret, Steve? I played some World of Warcraft not that long ago, like a month and a half ago. Maybe 2 months ago. Just to fuck around. I was like, let's see what's doing in World of Warcraft. I played it like 2 days. I ain't been back. You know why? Choice paralysis. Neil knows what we're talking about.
Brilliant. Do you want to do one more quick one, or do we want to go ahead and call it?
Do you have an idea for a quick one?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's go.
Nintendo games.
Mario, Metroid, Zelda.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Mike Tyson.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yep, bye. See you guys. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Go. Hey, you know what you guys need to do? We haven't talked about this on High Potion yet. Stone Cobra finally has one of their albums that hasn't been able to get put on Spotify. Do you want to give a brief overview of what that was all about? Because it was kind of fascinating from the outside.
Yeah, so we recorded this record in like 2013. It's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And we work very slow in terms of accomplishing things as a band.
Uh-huh. Tool.
So it took us a while to just even get on streaming media. And I kept bugging the guy who was in charge of that to do it. And finally, when he got around to doing it, apparently somebody had used a bit of one of our songs in one of their...
They had ripped you guys off.
They just ripped off some of Joshy's stuff.
They actually took the whole song and just put weird sounds behind it.
Yeah. And so that was popping up apparently in Spotify's like automated stuff that was rejecting our record. So anyway, I guess he finally got it figured out and it's up there now.
High and mighty. It slaps.
It's our best record. It's, you know, I think it's good. And it's got the stuff from Blue Harvest on there, yep. Just without the Star Wars samples. And yeah, check it out. It's a good mark of time from 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Oh my God. What is
kicking
time?
Kicking some ass.
11
You're
years
on the record.
Ago. I am. I forget about that sometimes. I forget sometimes that I'm on there.
Yeah.
know, people, yeah, they just need to go listen to Devilgrass. They'll hear you in the coffin in the background at the beginning.
Damn near expiring, about to throw up, coughing so hard. Anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Take care, guys. Bye.